The Con Guy Show, the official program of theconguy.com, is heard on the We Be Geeks Collective and on sci-fi.radio.
You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
If you were a monster kid growing up, if you enjoyed Saturday mornings watching Monster Movie Matinee, or staying up all night watching the midnight feature, then Monster Attack is the podcast for you. We not only look at classic old monster movies, we share our experience growing up as a monster kid. Join us every Monday for Monster Attack.
We're the Con Guys, and this is the Con Guy Show, coming to you straight from the nerdy heart of Hollywood, California.
And this is Jim with theconguy.com.
She's been here with theconguy.com.
Katie here, aka the Con Girl.
Zordon did not want five teenagers with attitude.
My name is Derek Sam.
I'm Danae Sams, and that's my brother.
We are your home for news, opinions, and interviews from the world of Comic-Cons and fandoms, your ultimate insiders for all things Welcome to 2022, everybody! Look at we are getting brand new. Yes, not 20 part 2, but 2022. You've seen that old meme, like 2022.
It's 2022!
Oh, no. So welcome to the Con Guy Show, the official program of theconguy.com. We are coming to you again, and like we always do, from the nerdy heart of Hollywood, California. And we are so glad to do that. My name is Jim Fry, still your editor-in-chief after all these shows and all these years. And I'm also your biggest cheerleader, I guess, tonight for a brand spanking new year, a year that hopefully finally gives us some things back that we are looking forward to. All right, we have some great folks with us tonight. I like that. All right, who do we have with us? Let's start ladies first.
It's me, your favorite con girl. Don't tell Danae. Katie, Christine. No, she's my, I'm one third of the con girls. So we actually are doing a show next week, which I'm sure we'll mention more later. But yeah, happy to be talking about some of this hype from 2022, but also a little bit of hype from like the end of last year, probably like maybe a little bit kind of spills.
We have to. The end of last year was huge, huge. All right, Derek.
Hey, sorry, I was muting my mic because my wife's trying to put babies to bed and I'm still hearing a little crying over there. But hi, I'm Derek Sams, regular on the Con Guy. I'm half of the Samblings. And I probably sound a little bit congested because things are going around. It's January.
Yes. Derek, happy new year, my friend. Glad to see you.
Here, Jim. It's good to see you.
And Ben.
Hey, everyone. It's me, old buddy Ben. I'm very excited to be here again. I missed a couple shows at the end of the year last year, and so I'm glad to be back here in the cyber studio with you guys. Happy New Year, Derek. Happy New Year, Katie. Happy New Year, Jim. It's 2022 now, guys. Everything's completely different than it was.
It may not be completely different yet, but we are heading that direction, man.
Real quick, just want to do a shout out to our host network, That Hashtag Show, who hosts our show on their awesome network and YouTube page and all sorts of things. You can find us there. You can find us at theconguy.com. Also our sister website, thescaryguy.com. And we don't have websites for the con girls and the con kids, but there are social media pages for those. I also want to give a shout out to our sponsor through that hashtag show.com, which is Neft Vodka. Apparently it's the world's best tasting vodka. That's what they've told me. Of course they remind you to please drink responsibly. I'm not drinking responsibly right now because I'm not drinking at all because I'm doing dry January, which I actually feel pretty good about. So
good for you.
And of course, toink.com, another sponsor of that hashtag show. I'll shut up now.
No, I love the conversation. By the way, I'm not drinking anything right now, but water. And I'm not necessarily dry Januarying it, perhaps, but I might. I am ketoing it, and I am, I am doing intermittent fasting. Yes, January, where we all decide that our lives suck and we need to be better. Well, not quite so much, but let's see what happens here.
I found a good segue for what I was going to say. Do you know whose life doesn't suck right now?
Who?
Andrew Garfield, because he just got a Golden Globe for Tick, Tick, Boom.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry,
you got a what? What is that?
So
I don't know. It wasn't on TV.
I know. I'm hyped. Ben knows this, and anybody who follows me on Twitter knows this. I'm obsessed with Tick, Tick, Boom. For the last like month or so, I've watched it twice, and I literally had the soundtrack on repeat. Absolutely love it. And Andrew Garfield was nominated for a Golden Globe and a Critics' Choice Award. The Critics' Choice Awards got postponed, but the Golden Globes happened virtually. Like literally, they just announced them. That's what they did because of everything that's going on with COVID. And he won Best Actor in a Musical or Comedy. And he spent a year and a half learning how to sing. So I am stoked. It's great. Y'all should watch it. If you love musical theater, if you just love a good story about someone who has had a big impact. And of course, he is about Jonathan Larson, who wrote Rent. So check it out. It's on Netflix. I'm hoping it gets Oscar buzz too. So
I'm going to tell you, I don't hate musical theater. I don't hate it. I enjoy it, but I'm not what you would call a connoisseur. I'm not a big, I don't go to a lot of musical theater, but
you're not Rent, a big musical theater guy. That's fine.
Yeah, I'm not, but I loved Rent. I really did. I saw it in New York. I saw it out here. I love Rent, and I'm looking forward to seeing Tick, Tick. It's Tick, Tick, Boom, right?
Tick, Boom.
Tick, Tick, Boom. Yeah. It's on Netflix. It's fantastic.
I am curious.
Yeah. And I actually, so he wrote Rent and Tick, Tick, Boom. He also wrote the musical Tick, Tick, Boom, which is, kind of a Danae's desk. Jim, I thought you had cats memorized.
Memories.
Tick, Tick, Boom is kind of a buying blood good.
Speaking of cats.
Speaking of cats. Hey, cheese is here. If I can finish my thought, Tick, Tick, Boom is kind of a biography musical written about himself. And I actually prefer the music in Tick, Tick, Boom to Rent, personally.
Oh, wow. Wow, really?
I agree.
Personally,
I did not know that was what Tick, Tick, Boom was about, because I had heard of the musical way back when it was still just a stage musical.
Yeah.
But I thought it was just a musical that was about like the end of the world or something.
Yeah. Can somebody explain the name, please?
Derek, what you're thinking of is the musical that he references in Tick, Tick, Boom, which was the first musical he wrote, which was a apocalyptic type play.
Yeah. Tick, Tick, Boom is a musical about him trying to pitch the first musical he ever wrote.
Oh, it's not about the creation of Rent?
It's before Rent.
I didn't know that.
There's some songs in there that you hear and you're like, oh, this plays into Rent.
Yeah, okay. And the characters, etc.
There's a song called The Life Bohemia in Tick, Tick, Boom. And that, of course, inspired La Vie Boheme in Rent. So it's.
But the show Tick, Tick, Boom was a thing.
Yes.
And is this the same as that? Or was that the name of the show that he created?
That was the name of the show and the movie.
The stage musical.
Not making it clearer.
The stage musical, which is called Tick, Tick, Boom.
Yes.
The musical written by Jonathan Larson. And it's autobiographical about how he wrote a different musical and tried to pitch it. Then later on in his real life career, Jonathan Larson wrote Rent.
Yes.
And so Tick, Tick, Boom is an autobiographical musical about him writing another show.
All
and then after that became a stage show and he became, he got success from that. Then he wrote Rent and then he passed away the night before Rent premiered on Broadway.
Okay.
Speaking of musical theater, Cheeseman's here. Please introduce yourself.
Speaking of music, hello, Cheeseman, Cheeseman here with the con guy. I sing and dance and tap dance. Not really.
All right, guys, for your listening and viewing pleasure tonight, we are going to be previewing 2022, the movies and TV shows and events. There's actually some events, fingers crossed, going to happen this year that we are most excited about coming up in the future, coming up in 2022. But first, we would be remiss not to mention that just recently, perhaps three of the most beloved people in show business and entertainment ever have passed. And you know, people make a joke about like, oh, they all go in threes. It's odd the way it happens that way. Betty White, Bob Saget, and Sidney Poitier, three legends of their craft have passed recently. And we do have to stop. Let's just take a moment to remember how, wow, these were people that had long careers. We're really sad about Bob Saget. That one was a big surprise. The other two, you know, they were had lived long lives in them. But what do you guys, what'd you guys feel? I mean, how'd this make you feel, these three legends passing recently? Do you guys have anything, any thoughts on this?
I instantly listened to the Full House theme, and then I even kind of watched some Bob Saget stuff after because I grew up on like Full House and all that. So that one more so kind of affected me like, oh, wow, that's crazy that he's gone, you know, especially at such a young age. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I grew up on Full House. So that one and watched America's Funniest Home Videos, too. That was another favorite thing to do. I watched that in America's Funniest People, which was also somebody from Full House. So that was a big part of my childhood. So it's crazy.
That was just so surprising, like, especially since just the he was on tour the night before. But I don't think we need to talk about how he died, but just like his life. I mean, he had just, when we're talking about Bob Saget right now, he had such an influence on so many people. And like Luke was saying, we grew up with him. And what's interesting, it's those who are fans of Bob Saget know he did have two sides. He had his very family friendly America's Home Funniest Home Videos and Full House side. Then he had his a bit edgier side of which me and Luke are list. What have you heard his comedy, Ben?
Yeah. It's a bit edgy is a bit of an understatement.
But it's crazy because we looked him up in 19. I looked up videos of Bob Saget's comedy or something, and then it like popped up in his 1984 bit. And I'm like, oh, what's this like? Is it probably like Jerry Seinfeld style? Or but it was still kind of like, you know, Bob Saget being kind of pervy with some of his stuff. And it was funny. And still, it was actually with Rodney Dangerfield was the one who introduced him.
Oh, nice.
All right. Danae Sams, to switch over.
No respect.
Okay. No Danae respect. Sams, she watched some Golden Girls on Saturday morning, and I was not expecting Betty's monologue to make me tear up so much. Oh, man.
I found out when we got to work and I was on my way to the break room and I hear one of our stock guys yell, oh my gosh. And he's like, do you guys know who died? And I didn't hear it because I was going to the break room. So I heard him like right there. And then all of a sudden I get in the break room and everyone's like, no way, this isn't true. Like everybody was on their phones trying to verify, just like I think Derek did when I texted you guys about it, was like, are we sure this is true? Cause like, yeah, I ain't about to like, you know, if this is not a funny joke, if someone is trying to like not verify this. And it's just like, I can't tell you how many times I've been got into work and found out about something like this. And, mm-hmm. you know, we pulled all of her pops to the table, which we've had to do anytime someone does pass and they have pops in the store because everybody's going to want them. Which is an unfortunate side that everybody's like, I want to buy this now because the price is going to go up. So that's kind of like a sad thing about it. Mm-hmm. But we brought them forward just like we did for Sean Connery, just like we did for Chadwick Boseman. So
it we was can rest assured that Betty would approve. Betty would approve.
And Golden Girls was playing in the break. Golden Girls and Community were playing in the break room all day.
She's so good in Community.
I didn't know she was on Community.
She makes a guest appearance in one episode. She's teaching, I think it's anthropology.
Oh, yeah?
And yeah. Of course, she has like a real dark side that comes out in it. But then in the tag during the end credits, Troy and Abed are doing their nonsensical Spanish rap, and she's just jumping in here and there with it. Yeah.
Yeah. Because she passed. I mean, it's just so sucky. She passed on the last day of the year, 2021. But you know what? There's no good day to pass. But still, I remember because I was going over to a friend's a small get together that night for New Year's, and you know, it was tie. You know, everybody dressed up. I dressed up in my suit, but instead of a suit shirt, I wore my Golden Girls T-shirt in honor of Betty White that night. And that's what I. That's you know, it's a little bit. A shirt that I got at LA Comic Con 2 years ago, and they have this guy that sells all these cool like nostalgic shirts, and I got He-Man and I got Golden Girls. They were great. But And Sidney Poitier, we just can't overlook Sidney Poitier. He was the very first African American man to win Best Actor Academy Award. And then he became a trailblazer and an activist. And just, I tell you what, we wouldn't be where we are right now with representation in cinema without Sidney. And he was such a classy guy. He just had so much grace and sophistication about him. I mean, that's the thing about the people that are passing. I mean, Bob Saget was a little edgy, but he was still a good guy. Like this current wave of people that we're losing, they just have a gravitas and a class and a sophistication to them that let's just hope we can replace it. A lot of people say, oh, it's something we'll never have again. Let's hope we do have it again. Let's hope people will stand up and kind of help us fill those big shoes. But anyways, Betty, Bob, Sydney, we are definitely going to miss you. It's water, but here's to you guys. But all right.
Diet Coke, but
yeah. Programming note, Katie, next week, the Con Girls are hosting a very special episode. They're diving into something that the Con Girls love. What is that? Can you tell us about that?
That would be
abs.
The Witcher.
wait. We gotta zoom in. We gotta see what you're looking at right
this
there.
This was sent to me from someone on my Twitch channel from my Amazon wish list. This is technically from the video game, but it's Geralt in the bathtub, which was also in season one of The Witcher. So I got that this week, and I wanted to show it off. But yes, Danae and myself and Emily, my roommate, if she is down to join us, which I'm sure she will be, are going to be covering The Witcher season two. We wanted to do this much earlier, but things happened. The holidays happened. Life happened, and we did not get around to it. So we are going to be covering everything about The Witcher season two. I personally thought it was, I don't want to say better than season one, but it was really good. I really enjoyed it. There was some things that were different about it. So if you guys want to hear my full spiel on it, watch us next week when we talk about it. And yeah, it should be fun. We all really love The Witcher.
The way that Netflix is releasing their shows all at once, which is how they do it. This is kind of a fair thing to do. They released the whole season of The Witcher, 4 weeks ago, 3 or 4 weeks ago?
It came out the same day as No Way Home.
So 17th.
All right. So I think it's,
about 3 weeks ago, a little more than three weeks.
You got to give people time to watch it. Not everybody is quite as much of a fan as some of the people here in the podcast and watch it all in one sitting. But anyways, I think it's going to be exciting. I can't wait to hear you guys jump into that. All right. We are going to, before we say goodbye, I mean, hello to 2022. Before we say hello to 2022, we're going to go through a very short journey of the end of 2021. I'm going to kind of jump to the front here real quick and just say that if you have not yet seen Spider-Man No Way Home, I'm going to mention it here in just a second. I'm going to mention it here. You have 5 seconds, and I'm going to mention a spoiler of this movie, which is about to hit $2 billion, so I'm sure everybody's already seen it.
Oh, wow. Or if you haven't, then, you don't care enough. So
you're past the statue.
Do the countdown.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The best thing about 2021 is this right here. 3 Spider-Man, 1 movie. Oh, freaking amazing. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Again tomorrow. in 4DX, though. So.
Oh, wow.
Yes, I'm excited. I've never gone to 4DX, but they opened one near us, and so we are going to go check it out tomorrow.
During Spider-Man, they spray Silly String on you in the theater.
I hope so. See, I always think Stan movie is in 4D, it ought to occur in real time, too. You know? Like, that's the 4D, right?
I didn't even think of it. So this movie's in 3D as well, I assume.
I saw it in 3D the second time. And then I'll see it in 4D tomorrow.
And one of you young folks are going to have to explain to me one of these days, what really is the metaverse? And what does it mean that we're going to eventually have Spider-Man in the metaverse? What does that mean?
You mean multiverse?
Metaverse.
Metaverse. Okay, just checking.
Disney is now starting to program towards a metaverse. Facebook is now called Meta, and they're going to start trying to create a metaverse. I think it's what we all live in, right? It is the real world. Is that what it is? Are we creating a fake?
Oh, no. The idea of the metaverse is like
Matrix?
Having like social interactions online in kind of a virtual space.
Okay.
If that makes sense. Like you've got an avatar and you interact with each other. It's basically like, a voluntary Matrix.
All right. So, all right. We're going to let Luke has what we are calling Luke's Christmas story. He's going to kick us off on how great the end of the year was. Luke, take it away.
Yeah. So, as you know, this year had a lot of good stuff coming towards the end of the year, a lot of stuff in the con world that we all love. So flying back to Ohio, had a lot of cool little things in the Ohio area that I'm just going to quickly go through it. May do another video at some point, kind of going more in detail through some of the things we did. But anybody who's seen my Instagram and Facebook knows that my dad likes to decorate like Clark Griswold for Christmas. So yeah. Going there at the Cheeseman House, it is very lit up, and a lot of people in the neighborhood especially like it, and some people that we know come and visit it all the time. And like we mentioned before, we went to see Spider-Man. I actually went to see it twice. This is the first time I went with my nephew Austin, my dad, and Austin's cousin Jackson. And then my cousin Austin dressed up like Tobey Maguire's original Spider-Man mm-hmm. suit when he was in the wrestling ring. So that's actually a homemade suit he did with like a spray paint kind of thing. His cousin Jackson helped him on it. Very and he wore that in the movie.
And Luke, who is Austin? Why should people have heard from Austin?
Austin, my nephew.
I know, but why is it significant to our show?
Oh, I'll get to it. But
okay, cool.
I'll get kids, but I guess I'll skip ahead to that real quick. But yeah, Austin does the Con Kid show. We've done the What If kind of after type thing. And then we did a Hawkeye after show recently where we completed that over Christmas. So that was definitely a highlight over the Christmas season, was doing that with him. And another cool thing we did, we went up to see a concert. We saw the Machine Gun Kelly concert. He's a big fan of his music, so I took him to see that. And then in that area of Cleveland where the concert was a Christmas Story House, which is a year-long exhibit that they have up there in Cleveland, Ohio, where you can go. They restore the original Christmas Story House, and you can take tours inside, and they also have a museum. So you can take pictures with the leg. You can also... they have one by the window. You can do the Ralphie and touch the leg if you want for a nice photo. They have the living room. They have the stairway that you can stand in that he stood in with the bunny outfit. They have the kitchen you can sit down where the father had the paper and the whole family would sit to eat, where his brother Randy would cry in the cabinet. You can
That's a good picture. That's an rooms. Appropriate picture to take.
What's that?
I said that was a good picture. That's an appropriate picture to take if you're at the sink underneath.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, lots of picture op places. You can go in the bathroom. They have the Ovaltine thing. And they also have, the soap that you can take a picture with. And then, like I mentioned before, they have a gift shop and a museum across the street where they have more props, original props from the movies, marketing materials, all that. I don't have pictures of that right now, but eventually I may post some of that stuff. And they also, sell like ornaments and just different t-shirts and kind of things. So I bought, being an ornament collector, I bought a Christmas Story ornament to put on my tree. That's the Christmas Story House. And they also have like other movies. So they had the turtle doves from Home Alone 2. So I bought one of those, and me and my friend Jake, who's been on the show multiple times, we had an inside joke about a friend giving him a turtle dove in elementary school. So as kind of a fun thing, I gave him the other turtle dove because we're very close of friends. And like I mentioned, I'm a big ornament collector. So Hallmark had a lot of cool things this year. Here's a speaking Christmas story. Here's the one with Ralphie and Randy, where Randy's like outfit was, way too tight. And like every year they come out with a Christmas Story ornament for Hallmark. And that was this year's. They did a Catwoman, which there's three different Catwomen that they had in the original 1960s series. And this was the Catwoman, the African-American one that they had, which was the third one on the series. So it's really cool to add her to my collection. Say that.
Eartha Kitt. She's the most famous. Yeah.
Say that again.
Eartha Kitt is the name of the actress.
Thank you.
She's a legend.
Yep.
Legend. Yes. And then I got Peacemaker, as he's got a series coming out. And then they actually had one with Sonic and Tails, and also with Knuckles. So the Sonic and Tails kind of came together, like Sonic flying with Tails. And then they had Knuckles with the ring. So with Sonic coming out this year and being a big Sonic fan from the past, I got those ones. Those were actually on discount and could be on discount online with Hallmark right now or in the stores. And then, as you know, Jaws is one of my favorite movies ever. And they basically created an ornament this year of the Jaws VHS. So on the inside, it looks like a VHS.
That's movie. Awesome.
That's great.
And then they had the Super Nintendo with a Super Mario World that kind of does the music on it. And it just looks really cool and legit, like as a small miniature size. Yeah. And of course, cool. with some extra money, you know, had to get myself a DeLorean when I saw it at Best Buy.
Of course.
And then me and Jim both got some different things that were the Lost Boys series of monster tees that kind of came in during the holiday season. I really like the shirt that they did. They also made a hoodie version, which Jim's probably about to show you. That's really cool. Okay. He's about to grab it.
Let's go back to me.
All right. Let's see it. Oh.
Oh, come back to me. No, this is a – can you guys see that? Isn't it amazing? Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's cool.
Lost Boys is, and it's, I wore this home.
It's for on Christmas. Netflix now. They added it to Netflix.
The movie?
Yeah.
Because I think it's not on my list, but it's supposed to come out this year.
As far as I know, I saw it. Yeah, I think it was on Netflix. I saw it.
CW has a new show coming out this year. One of the things I am most excited about. All right. Cheeseman, that's awesome, dude.
Yeah, just had a couple more things. Every Christmas is not complete without a little baby Yoda. They were selling these at Costco for $15. These are the perfect white elephant gifts. So two different family white elephant gift parties we did on both sides of the family. I put a baby Yoda in there, and these went so fast and got double stolen and retired pretty quickly in each of the things. So I had to get one for myself.
Didn't they have massive Grogu plushies at Costco too? Because I feel like I saw... massive plushie, and then I was like, I'm gonna come back for this, and then I forgot about it, and then I got home and I was like, oh, I didn't get the massive Grogu plushie.
So yeah, Costco is awesome. And then my favorite gift I got of all was this 1960s Batman Batcave ornament that they did for Hallmark, which I sent out to my con friends here on Christmas Day, where they basically have Batman and Robin sliding down the pole. They have the, you know, the flashing phone, and then they go all the way in the Batcave. I'm just going to play a split second, and then I'm going to stop it, but just so you can see it.
Though we may never know who he is behind that mask of his, thank goodness he's there when a crisis befalls us.
Oh my gosh.
Let's even get on the pole.
Yes, Commissioner. Right away. To the rat balls.
Boy, let's go. Zoop. Awesome.
Yes.
Yeah.
Those of you who are just listening, Luke's holding up a large ornament type thing. It's like larger than ornament. And 1966 original Batman and Robin on the top, slide down the pole, show up in the bottom. It's fantastic. I love
that. How heavy is that?
And what Christmas isn't complete with one of these stock things? Where
hey, Luke, how heavy? Up. Hey, Luke. Katie wants to know how heavy is that?
Ornament.
It's probably just like a pound. It's very light, but it's kind of big, so you may not want to put it on your tree. I mean, you could, but it's kind of risky to put on there, so I just keep it on a shelf, and I'll probably keep it on a shelf year-round just because it looks so cool.
Gotcha. Cool. Okay.
And what's that last thing you got there?
This is one of those sock things that you get, those calendar, the 15 days of socks. I actually didn't go through them all. I'm starting with my nephew, so... On some of the shows coming up, maybe I'll pull this thing out and pull out a new pair of socks.
Wait, I got to stop. You said this is one of those sock things you get.
Yeah, they're sock and calendars.
That he just casually said, like, you know, the sock thing.
Apparently everybody gets these.
I've never heard of the sock thing that you get like that.
Do you ever go to Target?
Is it a sock calendar?
There's literally, like, tons of them. Every Christmas they have sock advent calendars. But there's 15 days, which someone told me is... There's a reason it's 15 days, and I forgot what it was. Someone told me.
Hey, listen, I love my family. They got me these socks. I mean, not quite as exciting, but
I got some Reeboks as well.
What up, Ryan?
We got Ryan.
Ryan's in the chat on the YouTube.
But I did get a cool Charlie Brown, I believe, in the Great Pumpkin hat. Ryan Wendt Nilsson is here, by the way.
Oh, my mom's watching.
What's the
Advent socks.
Yeah.
Nice. All right. I am rest in peace. Yep.
Yeah.
By the way, Ryan Nielsen, who was for our longtime producer and now a friend of the show and sometimes host, we're going to get him back on the show and we'll have to talk offline. Ryan's got some cool new jobs with one of the coolest companies in the world. So we're not going to reveal what that is though, Ryan. Anyways, guys,
I'm joking. It's
even better. All right, if you're listening, I'm going to start sounding a little bit like a bully because I'm going to try to keep us on a little bit of a better time frame here because I do want to get through this without all of you guys jumping off. We are right. Okay, I want to know, for the rest of you, did you have anything Christmas related that you got that was cool you want to share, or any good memories of the end of 2021? Nope, nope, nope.
I mean, I got this sweatsuit set, which I think you guys would approve of. There's matching pants to it.
Yay.
You can see it.
Everyone approves.
Okay, wait. Here we go. Oh, it's awesome, Katie.
And there's matching sweatpants, and they're like, you know, they have like the fitted ankle. So like the ankle's like knitted and like fits around your ankle, and they're so comfy. So yeah, I was like,
for people who are just listening, Katie, can you describe
Star Wars Grogu knit like sweat set? I love them. So and I also got this is a nerdy cooking thing. I got an Instant Pot air fryer combo, and I love it, and it's the best, and I'm cooking all the things with it. So
Those things are great.
And I do want to say to Ryan, please don't reveal it. Ryan, all of us have day jobs. Most of us don't ever talk about where we work because we never want to be fired. So that will never come out of our mouths. That's one of our things. But Ryan just said the coolest thing when it comes to Christmas. This is what Brian got. His aunt is cancer-free. That's amazing. That's the best kind of Christmas gift anybody could get. So, Ryan, thank you for jumping in tonight and let us know that. All right, guys, we are going to... If nobody has anything else, I have one more thing from 2021. We're running real quick, but my 2021 is going right into 2022. And Luke loaded so many pictures in here, I can't find any of the pictures I loaded. All right. So I'll talk about that later. But 2021, there's a couple of things that got me super stoked. One was Spider-Man. Two was Florence Pugh as Elena in Hawkeye, which started in 2021. Then... if you haven't watched Hawkeye yet.
Sorry.
Sorry about it.
Spoiler,
but Kingpin is back. Vincent D'Onofrio is back as Kingpin. I don't know if I said his name correctly.
Yeah, you said it right. Vincent D'Onofrio.
Okay. All I know, 2021, the end of 2021 was freaking amazing. Also, Book of Boba Fett showed up. Does my heart good. All right. We are jumping into movies, guys. 2022, and there's a lot of moving pieces, if the world gets a little bit past this extremely high COVID surge that we're hitting right now, and it is big, and there's, you know, anyways, I don't want to talk about it too much, but be safe, be responsible. Ben, please always give us a PSA about responsibility, and he's going to end the show and help us be responsible, because we want 2022 to be better than 2021. But if all things go in a good trajectory, 2022, the movies lined up look like it's a 2019 style year of gigantic blockbusters on the horizon. So we're going to start. All right. We have gone through. We picked a lot of our most exciting movies. Ben, can you start us off with what we're looking forward to here in the new year?
All right. So the first thing that I want to talk about, of course, I absolutely loved Spider-Man No Way Home. I still only saw it the once. That was like the last time my wife and I went out in public, and then we've just holed up since then because, of course, stuff is spiking. And I'll do a little thing at the end of the show and talk about that. Now the big thing, the rumor mill is churning out. You know, Spider-Man No Way Home, the holdover. What does this mean for Andrew Garfield? What does this mean for Tobey Maguire? Are there Spider-Mans now? Canon in the MCU and the greater multiverse of the MCU? Is that what we're going with now? Could Chris Evans show back up as the Human Torch in a Final Four crossover of some sort? No, nobody's talking about that. But does this open the door? I think the big rumor is, does this open the door? I hit my microphone. For Andrew Garfield to come back for the somewhat previously anticipated Amazing Spider-Man 3. You know, people were expecting an Amazing Spider-Man 3 after Amazing Spider-Man 2. Amazing Spider-Man 2 did well at the box office, but because of all the stuff with the MCU and everybody wanted Spider-Man in the MCU, and then it didn't work, and then, you know, the whole deal with Disney and Sony went through, and then they just had to reboot Spider-Man again. So does his appearance in No Way Home open the door for an Amazing Spider-Man 3 and his own version of MJ, perhaps, now that Gwen Stacy in that universe is dead? Does it open up a Spider-Man 4 of the Sam Raimi universe with Tobey Maguire? So we're just looking forward to that. This is all purely rumor now, but I think the thing is, I feel like these corporations, these studios, put these rumors out there to see what the internet thinks of it, and then gauges that reaction, and then that's how they decide what to do. Because, you know, I mean, look at how Deadpool got made.
Yep.
I mean, that's just one of the things. I think stuff gets leaked out there. They have somebody saying, oops, I didn't mean to say that. And then see how the internet responds. And they're like, okay, we can make money off this. So we'll see. Bloodgood says, I hate saying it, but I don't think we're getting Amazing Spider-Man 3 at all. Quite possibly true. You know, we might not be getting it. Fantastic Four, for God's sake, says Ryan Nilsson. Yes, I'm still looking forward to a MCU reboot of Fantastic Four, not the, you know.
Yeah, but only Ben, if they actually give credit to the original 1994 Fantastic Four that never got released with our friend Jay Underwood.
Exactly.
They need
bring
to
Jay back.
Some of those folks from in that multiverse.
Bring on Galactus. Bring Galactus.
Also, to echo up what Ben said, though, Andrew Garfield did do his first interview since he could finally talk about it. And he did not say he wouldn't come back. So, you know, I'm just saying. If you guys see someone spamming Twitter for, you know, make Amazing Spider-Man 3 happen, it was probably me. So.
All right, Ben, what else we got?
And I think Garfield is down. Next one, January 14th. This in but a few days, we've got Scream 5, which is just called Scream. For some reason, it's not called Scream 5.
Halloween, Scream. It's so weird.
Scream, Halloween. Everyone scream for Halloween. Anyway, so yes, Scream 5. Of course, I love the Scream franchise. One of my favorite parts of the Scream franchise is that they crossed it over with Kevin Smith's View Askewniverse by having Jay and Silent Bob appear in Scream 4, I believe it was. And that just makes me giggle inside. But the first Scream is incredible. And now, obviously, I don't know. The TV show didn't really connect, I don't think. I only watched a few episodes of it.
I enjoyed it, but...
but it didn't really connect to the movie franchise, right?
I don't think so.
No. But now it's obviously, like, this movie is setting up the passing of the torch from the previous generation of... you know, David Arquette and Courtney Cox, Neve Campbell, you know, them passing the torch onto this new generation of teenagers, which they were when they did the first Scream movie way back in the 90s, before any of us were born. Then, of course, at the beginning of February.
Wait. When you say passing the torch, are you suggesting something nefarious?
I'm not. I was just saying, it looks like they're, you know, they're.
Yeah.
Let your other group of friends get killed. Let you young kids get killed.
Let Neve Campbell live and don't kill David Arquette.
They're kind of doing what like Ghostbusters did and like bringing it into like this
right. next
generation. Because you have the original cast, a majority of the original cast. I have my fingers crossed about one particular cast member that has not been in the trailer, but. And then you have the new cast, which is, you know, Jack Quaid from The Boys and like this other generation of people who they can introduce this franchise to. So
what are your fingers crossed for, Katie?
Matthew Lillard.
What?
Like Scoob.
He is literally the 90s. Like when I think of the 90s, I think of Matthew Lillard. And I just want, if he's in the movie, I will just be like, okay, yeah, all right, okay, cool. Sounds good.
What is this? What is Ryan saying that Scream 5 has a Rian Johnson reference?
Bloodgood, shut up, Bloodgood.
Ben is saying that they're definitely off the original cast. All right,
non-nerds, but kind of nerds that like sports, like Ben. I know he doesn't care about this particular game, but Georgia beat Alabama. Some of you may see the show later, but Georgia just at this moment has officially, you know, I would say, beaten Alabama.
I don't care for the SEC. The Southeastern Conference as a college athletics conference, but I care for Alabama even less than I care for the SEC. So I'll take a Georgia win in the national championship.
Yo, nerds, we're talking about football, college football, in case you're wondering. All right, keep going, Ben.
Next, beginning of February, Moonfall from Roland Emmerich. The celestial forces knock the moon out of its orbit. It's rocketing towards Earth. Astronauts have to save it. It looks awesome and fun and big space action along the lines of Deep Impact and Armageddon and all those great movies that we used to have back in the day. It's a whole new era of Earth-shattering, literally, movies for a new generation.
Is that the one with the Sam from Game of Thrones in it?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay.
Also on February 4, releasing, this one does my heart good, Jackass Forever. Looking very forward to Jackass Forever. I have to admit, when I was a teenager and the original Jackass show was airing, I wasn't a big fan. I was literally like, these guys are jackasses. And then as I grew older, I think I grew to appreciate them more. So going back and watching them now as much older dudes, you know, like 20 years older than they were during the original show, doing the same screwed up stuff.
Speaking of killing off your original cast, for crying out loud.
The trailer just looks hilarious and it looks like so much fun. And Kat Bledgood says, I've never seen any of the Jackass films. I don't think that matters. I think you can just go see him. There's no continuous, there's no through storyline. It's just a bunch of guys.
If you've seen people doing ridiculous stunts on any sort of TV show, it is.
But I do have to tell Kat, although Jackass is one of my favorite franchises, it's so ridiculous, so dumb. You are smarter for having never seen one of the Jackass films, but you are poorer emotionally because you'll laugh your butt off. So you need to
see. Jen was laughing hysterically when the trailer aired before Shang-Chi. I was sitting next to him and I was like, he was just dying in his chair.
Then mid-February, February 18th, after you've wrapped up your Valentine's Day weekend plans, you can go see Uncharted with Tom Holland and Mack Wahlberg.
I'm interested to see how they handle this. I've played a little bit of Uncharted. I cosplayed Nathan Drake once, just mainly, really, just because my wife was doing Lara Croft. But Tom Holland is not who I would have thought to play Nathan Drake, which I think he's a really good actor. But still, I'm just like,
it's the combination to me. When I'm watching him and Mark Wahlberg on camera, I'm like, this is a little cringe. Like, they don't have good chemistry. That's my problem with it so far.
We'll see. I think it looks like they're trying to capture some Indiana Jones vibes, which is what the Uncharted video games were trying to capture in a sense as well. I like Tom Holland. I mean, he's the hot ticket in Hollywood right now, and God bless him. You know, he's a young guy. He's in his, what, mid-20s? He's, what, 25
or
something?
24 or 25,
24? He's a young guy and he's the hot ticket in Hollywood right now. And he is living his best life. And I really appreciate how he's like, I might take a break from acting to raise a family. And I was like, yeah, do that, dude. Like, you live that life.
Good for him.
So I'm like, all right. Then one that I'm particularly excited about, March 4, The Batman.
Yeah.
So I read, you know, people were discussing The Batman online. It was like the comments section under the YouTube video of the trailer, and it's like, why do we keep making Batman movies? Why? And I'm just like, why do we keep writing Batman comic books? Because it's a great character that you can tell different stories with in different versions of it.
Yeah. And you can say that about any kind of movie. Why are you making, you know, remakes of older movies? Why do we keep making film adaptations of Charles Dickens novels or Jane Austen books? Or why do we keep remaking A Star is Born? Why do we keep getting Fast and Furious movies? Why do we keep getting, murder mystery procedurals on every network?
And what's the answer?
And because, you know, some stories are interesting to just tell them in new ways, too.
Yeah. But the point mixed with Batman is every movie has been uniquely different. It's never been the same story. So the comics, you know, every comic is unique as well. And they've done that with all the Batman movies.
But can I just interject and say the answer is, they're all unique. It's money. They continue to make money. People still want to see them
they know people see them too.
Yeah, as long
every as people generation deserves Batman movies.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Ben, go ahead.
Yeah, you slap Batman onto a movie and you can print money, you know, because people are going to go see it, even if it's awful. Like people went and saw the first Justice League, like the Joss Whedon Justice League. But I'm really particularly excited about this. I think it was a really interesting, it's always a really interesting casting choice. I don't think there's ever going to be obviously in the casting choice for Batman. So
remember when Michael Keaton was announced?
People hated it. Hated Michael Keaton after they announced him to play Batman. So yeah, I think it's why can't I think of the name of the guy? The actor.
Robert Pattinson.
Okay. Pattinson. Yeah. I thought it was a really cool casting choice to cast him. He's definitely got the jawline. He's got that square jaw. Is like a cube.
And that's why he was cast as Cedric Diggory. But unfortunately, he's not been in anything else
ever. Mm-hmm. Zoe Kravitz is Catwoman. Selena Kyle is. I'm like the trailers. I'm just like, yes, give me this Batman Catwoman action. Colin Farrell is the Penguin. It looks hilarious. I mean, one of the greatest memes I saw was, imagine spending all this money making Colin Farrell look like Richard Kind when you could have just hired Richard Kind. And then the Riddler.
Sorry, Jonah Hill.
Yeah. It's going to be...
looks amazing.
Yeah, the Riddler looks crazy. This, it's another gritty take on it. It's going to be interesting. What's his name as Commissioner Gordon? He was Felix in James Bond. Why can't I think of his name? He was in Westworld.
Wait, isn't Commissioner Gordon? I thought it was. It's not J.K. Simmons since he's in everything else.
That's in the other universe.
That's Snyder in the universe. Other Batman universe. Oh my goodness, they're all merging together. This is the metaverse.
But it is the metaverse. Give me one moment. I will pull it up because I'm a doofus and I can't remember his name.
By the way, did they release the picture of Robert Wright or
Jeffrey Wright?
Jeffrey Wright. Yes.
Oh yeah.
Jeffrey Wright's playing Commissioner Gordon. Jeffrey Wright is such a good actor, and I do love him.
I love him. He's one of those actors that I think is great, and I always forget his name.
Exactly.
Probably because he's a really good actor.
That's the sign of a good actor. Yeah.
Well, it's also like on the show when I'm live on the air, I never remember somebody's name.
I don't know who you are, my friend.
Right. Like Robert Pattinson.
I was only able to say Robert Pattinson because like 5 minutes before you brought it up, I was like, oh, hang on. What's his name? What's his name? And I was like, the whole time you were talking, I was trying to remember his name. And it finally came to me right before you asked.
Perfect. Speaking of bats, another Marvel tie-in film, tie-in-ish, Morbius, releasing. Yep. It's been pushed back 3 months. It's releasing on April 1st. This, of course, the Jared Leto, remembered his name, the Jared Leto vehicle based on the vampire character of the Marvel universe, the Marvel Comics universe. Again, this is going to be part of the Sony Spider-Man villains kind of universe, with Venom and I guess Carnage and
Rhino.
Maybe Rhino. I don't know.
Doc Savage.
What?
Savage. Was it Doc Savage? Remember, there was the part of the right there when in No Way Home, you saw the split of time and space. Yeah, you saw like outlines of people.
You saw the outline of like Rhino in there, but it was a different Rhino we haven't even seen yet. Yeah. Like this was all the different universes coming together. So they have a lot to play with between Sony and Marvel Studios. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. But yeah, so Morbius is coming out and it's going to be part of that Sony's Spider-Man villain universe that they're doing with Jared Leto. And one thing I really like is that they're getting more into the comic book occult type characters, you know, the vampires, and they're kind of bringing that in a little bit with Doctor Strange when he was doing magic and Scarlet Witch with magic. And it's magic. It's not like, you know, in Thor, he's like, what you call magic, we call science. You know, this is like magic in the Marvel universe. And so you're getting into that, you know, because like in the comics, like the devil is a character in the Marvel comics. Like it goes into mythology and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So
like, this is Scarlet Witch right now. There's a series of comics out called The Trial of Magneto, who in the comic storyline has killed the Scarlet Witch. supposedly, although there's a magical universe of other realms and dimensions, and if we want to bring her back, we can. So anyways, it's magic. It's like you said, they didn't intubate her in some kind of something. Right. And Tony Stark did not, you know, give her life again. But anyways.
So what I was going to say real quick, though, was I'm not excited about this movie. I don't want to see it. But it's a little interesting that it got moved to April Fool's Day. Can we just talk about that for a second? Like, it got moved to April Fool's Day.
Well, the thing that Ben was talking, that is funny, actually, because I have heard sort of rumors about it that they're filming an extra scene. This is rumors.
That's what everybody's hoping, is that, yeah, that hoping Andrew Garfield is going to be in the right after credit scene. Yeah.
I don't think that's going to happen.
I hope that doesn't happen. I don't want Andrew Garfield anywhere near a Jared Leto movie, but whatever. Well, that's just me.
Well, it's just because if you chase down the rumors and see where they started, you're like, oh, who are you? But anyways, it is a great rumor. So I'm glad to propagate it. But anyways, I like the fact that comic book movies are trying something new. This is a straight on horror film. Or on behalf of a comic book movie, kind of like, you know, Blade back in the day was sort of.
And will be, yeah.
Yeah, it was horror. Kind of like we were promised that Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness is going to be. But I think they may have pulled back. Who knows? Raimi's got it, so let's see what happens. But anyways, we've got more. Katie, can I ask you what you mean by the, what do you think the April 1st thing means?
No, I just think it's interesting that it's coming out on April Fool's. So I'm like, is there going to be a joke in there somewhere? Is there going to be, like, is there more to this? I don't have any theories. I just found it interesting that they're like, we're pushing it back to April 1st.
An interesting happenstance.
Like, yeah. Are you going to...
Tell me suspicious.
Like, I hope they do something on April 1st, because that would be funny if it's like, hey, so the reason we moved it to this day is because, like, gotcha. But,
it's not real.
I honestly, to me, I'm probably not gonna see it. I don't care for Jared Leto, but like,
Jared Leto's great.
I don't like him.
All right. Speaking of April, Derek, can you take us into April? What's coming in April?
I will, but first, two things that were skipped in Ben's list.
Oh,
February 11th is Murder on the Nile, follow up. Still a geek for Agatha Christie and any classic work of literature adapted for film and directed by Kenneth Branagh. And also, it has Wonder Woman in it. So I'm have high hopes for that. I really liked Murder on the Orient Express, and I'm excited for that one too. And then March 18th, we have the sequel to the Downton Abbey movie, Downton Abbey, A New Era. If anyone's not excited about that, then shame on you. Because
that crossed over to comic
If you've ever seen 30 Rock, that's just like a little line in there where it's like, are you watching Downton Abbey this evening? Yes, Maggie Smith is a treasure. So I'm super excited about that.
Cool.
Yes, those are not totally in our wheelhouse, but they are things that I will geek out about.
I love that you brought them up, though.
Absolutely, yeah. Death of the Nile. Yes.
Yeah. Death of the Nile, yeah.
But in April 8th, we're going to get Sonic the Hedgehog 2. Our friend Josh Miller, who's been on the show a few times, he and his writing partner wrote that one just as they did the first one. This one we're getting to see Tails and Knuckles. The first one was just a delightful movie. It was really fun.
Yeah.
It had the great feel of 90s adventure fantasy type things like that. And it was what I wanted from a Sonic the Hedgehog movie in so many ways. So I'm really glad to be going back to that. April 15th, we get Fantastic Beasts, The Secrets of Dumbledore, which is the third movie in the Fantastic Beasts franchise. And this one, like, I mean, I'll be honest, I'm a huge Harry Potter fan, have not loved the Fantastic Beasts movies like I wanted to. And I think some of that is because J.K. Rowling is great as a writer of books and probably not writing directly for film. This one, Steve Kloves, who adapted almost all of the Harry Potter films, is kind of took over more of the writing duties for it. So this might actually be a little better of a story. And we'll see. Like, it's still the world that we love. So I will probably still see it if I can get to the theater, knowing how my life is going right now. But I'm curious to see.
Are you busy? Why, Derek?
What's that?
Why are you busy?
Why I'm busy? Because I have three foster sons.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's what you're going to be busy with.
It is. It makes like anything else in life almost impossible to happen. but moving on, May the 4th, which is Star Wars Day, and the Ben and Brianna's anniversary, and Lara's and my anniversary of our first date. We are getting
that's a big day.
We're getting Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, which I like. I wouldn't say Doctor Strange is my favorite of the Marvel characters that we've gotten in the MCU, but his movies, like, they're my favorite for the look. Do you know what I mean? Like, all the stuff with the mirror dimension and everything. I love how they play with that on film.
Visual feast.
Yeah. And if I could pick any Marvel character to do the cosplay for, if I had Katie's costuming skills, I would probably just be Doctor Strange at every convention.
He's got the best costume by far.
I know. I love his cape and everything. And he's got, like, my hair, unfortunately, has just, like, faded away instead of faded white. And I really would, I love, like, he's got just the perfect streak there. I'd like to walk around with that. But, you know.
Can we stop for just a second? Kit Blood, it was Kraven the Hunter that I saw. Not Doctor. Okay, thank you, Kit, for bringing that up. Thank you, thank you. Sorry.
Yes, thanks. I'm going to skip this one, Jim, because I don't know anything about it. Yep, and fine. Yeah. Top Gun Maverick.
Wait. That was thrown in for fun. Okay, we have a list that we put together. Legally Blonde 3 is coming out. Come on. That's kind of cool.
I haven't heard a single damn thing about that movie.
You sent me this list, and Legally Blonde, like, your list with Legally Blonde 3 mentioned is the first I've heard anything about it.
Yeah, I know.
Finished. Like, I remember when Legally Blonde 2 came out.
And it wasn't good.
We rented it. I couldn't finish it because it was so bad.
I don't think I ever saw part two.
There was a number 2 by reading that Legally Blonde 3 is coming out. So I'm not going to say any more about it.
Right, it's in there just for fun. And we're not just reading off lists, are we, Derek?
If you like Legally Blonde, then be happy about Legally Blonde 3. I don't give a crap.
I saw the first one. I love Reese Witherspoon. Come on.
Who doesn't?
Okay.
All right, keep going, Derek.
There are two things coming out on May 27th that we can look forward to. First, Top Gun Maverick. You know, who doesn't love Top Gun? Some nice 80s throwback. There have been some fun trailers out for it. I'm not the big Top Gun fan that a lot of people are, and I'm not even a big Tom Cruise fan, but in many ways I do respect him as an actor because you can tell he just is always pouring all of his energy into anything, even though he's the same character in every movie, except with exception of Tropic Thunder.
Collateral.
Yeah.
And Collateral, where he was a villain.
I will grant that. However, like, I think it might be a fun 80s throwback. It might be, just like every other movie that's kind of a reboot of an old 80s franchise where we just like, okay, that was a fun romp, but it's not something I need to see again. Either way, it's probably going to be something.
Tom Cruise is Hollywood, Derek. Face it.
Sure, well, whatever.
If Derek can harpoon the movie, he just did.
I think it'll be fun. All right.
I do have to say this real quick. The high point of Comic-Con for me 2 years ago when we were in person, or maybe it was 3 years ago, was when Tom Cruise surprised everybody, showed up in Hall H to come out and promote Top Gun. That was awesome. It was an awesome moment. All right, keep going.
Yeah. No, I do think he's very, he's talented as a showman. I've, in some interviews and things, I think he's probably pretty good to work with and everything. And I think this might be a really fun movie. I just can't say a whole lot about it because I'm not one who's really followed this release as much. And my biggest hesitation is we've seen so many 80s reboots right now. I'm like, okay, is it really going to be good? Or is it going to be one of those things that we just see anyway, just because we want it to be good? We will find out. Okay.
It'll be good.
But what I'm more excited about on the same day, May 27th, is the Bob's Burgers movie.
Yes.
All I can say is it's about time. Yeah. There's nothing else to be said. Bob's Burgers is an amazing show.
It is.
There we go. I just saw the trailer. This was not on our list, but I was watching the championship bowl game tonight and they had the Bob's Burger commercial. I was like, oh my gosh, that is so good. I can't believe it didn't make our list. But I too, if I have to choose between the two movies, I'm seeing Bob's Burgers first. That's my first choice. Full on. Yeah. Hey, Cheeseman.
If you've never watched the series Bob's Burgers, get online and watch the first season. Start there. It's I've not been able to keep up with it in more recent seasons, but it's just, it's one of those shows where you should start at the beginning. Not because it's big and continuous, but some of my favorite episodes are in those really early seasons. So I definitely recommend it.
And I just feel like it keeps getting better too.
It's so good, yeah.
Just every season, it's just better. Not to disparage the first season by any means. I'm just saying.
And not to disparage any of the movies on the back side of our list, but we're going to go a little bit quicker now. All right, let's go, Cheese.
All right, we are moving to June 10th, Jurassic World Dominion.
Yep.
Funny, when you go on IMDb, it just says no plot revealed at this point. It's okay, you're not giving us much, no trailer or anything, but you know, people will pay to see it. And congratulations to me, because I'll have new cosplay, because I always dress up like Chris Pratt version Jurassic Park, Jurassic World, whatever. And June 17th, we have Lightyear from Pixar, which kind of tells the story of the person that actually inspired the real Buzz Lightyear. I mean, not the real Buzz Lightyear, the toy of Buzz Lightyear. And the voice of him is done by Chris Evans, which I think will be really cool. You guys excited about that one?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it also comes out the same time, the same week that the other movies have come out. I don't know if you guys know that, but those movies always came out in June, right around my birthday. And so I found that was a really interesting slot for them to have it on, because I know Toy Story 4 came out on my birthday. So nice. That's how I was like, oh, that's interesting. They're keeping that
up the kids' summer.
Hey, wait. Speaking of kids, can I just kick us back just for a second? The Jurassic World Dominion, the one thing that's so cool about that one, Sam Neill, Laura Dern, and Jeff Goldblum are returning to the film, not as in cameo roles. They're in the entire film. They are major portions of the film, along with Chris Pratt and Bryce Dallas Howard. That's what's cool.
That's why you need no plot revealed.
Well, yeah.
Drop the mic. They're all in it.
Yeah. Well, Tomazello. I want to see, yeah. I can't remember the name of the actress who played Lex, but I want to see the kids as adults come back.
That would be fantastic. Yeah. All right.
Mozilla's done some good stuff, so I'm sure they got to bring him back. All right. So I just looked this up because it's on my list. June 24th, The Black Phone. So Ethan Hawke's in this, and he always does good horror movies. So you know this has got to be good. It's about basically a child killer that locks a kid in a basement, and then this mysterious phone has the voices of the other kid victims giving advice of how to get, you know, stop the killer and all that. So it's got this really creepy mask on the poster and Ethan Hawke's in it. So, you know, it's got to be a good one. Very creepy. Maybe kind of along the lines of like a Nightmare on Elm Street kind of good horror movie. We'll see. Maybe this will be another
chance. Scott Derrickson. No, it's Scott Derrickson. He knows how to scare us. That's for sure.
Yeah. And then July 1st, we have Minions, The Rise of Gru, which actually tells kind of the origin stories of Gru as a child wanting to be the biggest villain in the world. I unfortunately have not seen a lot of these movies, so you guys probably know a little more about this, but people love these Minions. They love these movies.
The only thing I know is it was supposed to come out, I think, like over a year ago.
Yeah.
Because all the merchandise is already out. So, like, I'm pretty sure it was supposed to come out like a year ago.
There was a Minion spread, so
yeah.
All right, and last one on my list, July 8th. One I'm very excited for is Thor: Love and Thunder. Looking forward to Christian Bale joining the Marvel Universe, bringing back Chris Hemsworth and Natalie Portman, and then also, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy being part of this. I love the banter between Star-Lord and Thor, so can't wait to see the trailers for this.
And this is the biggest movie. Well, go ahead. I'm sorry, Ben.
I said, and Taika's back, writing and directing.
Yeah,
Taika Waititi.
I am looking forward to this more than I think any movie of the year, just because I love the humor of this. And not to ruin it, but if they do go with the storyline in the comics of when Jane became Thor, it's going to be one for the record books, guys. It's going to be a good one.
Katie, you're up next.
Sorry, I'm literally going to do a lightning round of this because we have gone way too long so far. So this first one makes it easy because on July 22nd, Jordan Peele's new movie comes out called Nope, which is a great title for a horror film. But there's literally nothing about this film online that I could find yet. So you're just going to have to stay tuned. Yeah. A lot of people think it might be connected to Get Out because some of the same actors from Get Out are in it. That is the only thing that I know about this movie. Yeah. July 29th, Black Adam, which is part of the Shazam DC universe. We get to see Black Adam with Dwayne The Rock Johnson playing Black Adam. And it's going to be basically the movie in between Shazam and Shazam 2, Fury of the Gods. I'm sure there's a reason for that. I have hunches, but, you know, anyway, that's that one. And then we're talking about Tom Cruise again, Mission Impossible 7. Don't really know anything about it. Honestly, I stopped paying attention to Mission Impossible after the third one. So That's what that
Why do they keep making Mission Impossible movies?
Anyway.
They're basically all the same movie, different locations. Yeah,
exactly. October 7th, though. October 7th. I am hyped about this one. Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse Part 1. Obviously, anybody who knows me knows I loved Into the Spider-Verse. So I'm really excited to see the next part. Excited to see Miles Morales again. Excited to see Spider-Gwen again. And seeing how all this ties into Sony's Spider-Verse, animated Spider-Verse, which the animation was also fantastic. So I'm excited about that. Obviously, Jim is going to be excited about this one, but I have not seen any of the most recent movies. On October 14th, jumpstarting the Halloween movie season is the third movie, Halloween Ends. So that's going to be the new Halloween movie, which I'm sure the
trailers are going to be. I'm semi-excited. I was excited for the first one. My enthusiasm waned on that second one. But it's got extended scenes now, so I'm going to go back and see it. But I will love this movie.
You're going to see it regardless.
Yes, absolutely. So,
like, anyway, November 4th, we're getting the Flash movie. Long awaited, much anticipated for some people, of the Flash, which, why can't I think of his name, who plays the Flash?
Ryan Nielsen.
No.
No.
He wants to be the Flash.
Ezra Miller.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Ben. Ezra Miller returning as the Flash in his own standalone film. We'll see. I don't know. I'm not a big DC fan. Sorry, y'all. All right. And but then Marvel ends the year with another movie. They're having a big year this year, and that is Black Panther Wakanda Forever. Obviously, I don't even have to talk about this. We are all going to see it. We are all curious to see where they take the story with the passing of Chadwick Boseman and T'Challa. So I just want to see what they're going to do and how they're going to move this story forward, because I'm hearing a lot of things about, you know, we got to do what's right by this franchise and what was right for Chadwick. So I have so much respect for Marvel, and I know that they're going to handle it in the best way possible. And that'll round out the holiday season for Marvel, because they always have a summer movie and then they have a holiday movie. So,
Well, speaking of the holiday season, let's end the year on a big note. November 23rd, which I think is Thanksgiving weekend, The Fabelmans, a movie I had not heard anything about. But this is a coming-of-age story directed by Steven Spielberg about his own personal coming-of-age as a child. It's what made Steven Spielberg Steven Spielberg. The influences, the things, the 8mm camera that he ran. I'm so intrigued by this. Who knows how well it's going to do, but Steven Spielberg, he can almost do no wrong in my book. All right, December 16th. Speaking of giant ends to the year, Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom. DC, which is not Katie's favorite, but let's just say Aquaman.
Oh, I have other reasons for that movie, but we're not going to talk about it right now.
All right. Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom. Let me tell you, I am so stoked for this movie. I was surprised how much I liked the first Aquaman movie. It surprised me how much I liked it. I think this is going to be even better. But here's what's weird. The very same day, December 16th, this gigantic movie, which you would think was sucking all the oxygen out of the room, is going head-to-head with Avatar 2. Avatar 1 is the biggest movie of all time. It passed up Avengers Endgame during the pandemic when it was re-released. So Avatar 2 is out 13 years after the original.
That's the only reason they re-released it, was because they wanted to try and compete with Avengers Endgame.
Think so too. But, you know, Disney owned both films, so it's like, whatever. But here's the thing. Is there still enough excitement around Avatar to make this the big hit that people think
it will be? I hope not. It's way overrated.
All right. I'm kind of on with you. I like the first film, but I can't tell you the name.
13 years? I don't care about it anymore. Like, let's be real.
Fern Gully in space.
I was just going to say, I liked it the first time when it was called Fern Gully.
Yeah. Or when it was called Dances with Wolves.
And then we are ending the year.
Jim, real quick comment, though. That's four really big DC movies that we're getting next during this year.
Name them.
The Batman, The Flash, Black Adam, and Aquaman.
Yeah.
Aquaman 2. So that makes me wonder, like, some of these, what's DC going to do this year? Is that, like, were they going to maybe give us some really good quality stuff from DC? I mean, I know we got some people, some nerds who are not big fans of DC because they're used to, like, the quality they were getting from the MCU. But maybe DC is going to really turn things around.
Because I remember, a couple years ago, it was 2019, when DC skipped Comic-Con. Basically, they didn't have anything to promote. They had to stop. They had to reset the way they were doing things because their movies just weren't hitting on all cylinders. The movies they've got lined up this year all seem pretty exciting. Black Adam, I think, has the least name recognition, but because, Katie, it's in the Shazam universe, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Which is which is tangentially, and we saw at the end of Shazam, it's also in the DCU universe. So we'll see what they're doing. You know, are they still shaping? But I agree, Derek. It's going to be exciting. And then Aquaman, the Lost Kingdom is going to end on a high note. And I think Batman's going to be a sleeper hit. I think it's going to do well. And then December 21st, there is an untitled Mario movie starring Chris Pratt. Of course, he's in everything as Mario. Seth Rogen as Donkey Kong. Jack Black as Bowser. Charlie Day as Luigi. I love Charlie Day as Luigi. That's so great. Anya Taylor-Joy as Peach. Keegan-Michael Key as Toad. And Fred Armisen as Cranky Kong. Today's the first time I heard about this movie, and I'm really excited about
this. Wait, you hadn't heard about this movie yet?
No, I didn't know anything about it.
Really? No. I knew the Mario thing with Chris Pratt.
Yeah.
Maybe I heard.
I didn't know about all this cast, though. That's really great.
Yeah.
I'm excited about the cast.
Yeah. Luke, okay, guys, we're going to finish on a high note. We got 10 minutes to go here. Luke, tell us what TV shows, streaming or broadcast, TV, cable, what's a bunch of shows that you might be interested in coming up?
Well, I got to be selfish because the next show coming out is actually me and Jim's show is streaming this week on PureFlix, Sons of Thunder Season 2. Me and Jim wrote all 6 episodes of the show, did the whole arc, had some great casts. We're looking forward to seeing the whole thing for the first time. So they're going to be having 2 episodes coming out this Thursday, January 13th, and then it's going to be episodic after that for the remaining 4 episodes. So check out Sons of Thunder Season 2 on PureFlix. You can also do a free month trial on their site. And it's not, or you can get a subscription. Check out their other stuff as well, because we also wrote on The Encounter Season 2, the first 2 episodes, and a show called The Power Couple that Katie also worked on.
Yeah.
Which was a show about a superhero couple and marriage counseling. That was also on. Are you wanting to say something, Jim?
No, I just want to encourage everybody, like, not to, a lot of people might think, oh, that's one of those family film, those family series or faith and family thing. Yes, it is. It's on the faith and family PureFlix streaming network, but they are trying to go more mainstream. That's why they hired me and Luke they said, let's make something funny, gritty, throw in some action, some violence, and make it seem like kind of like Sons of Anarchy, but that a family could watch, which that's a hard thing to pull off.
Yeah, but if SNL makes fun of any of the stuff we write from PureFlix, I'm okay with that, because I'm like, at least we got something on SNL that made fun of. So go for it if you want.
No, but that being said, I think that of all the stuff that I've been seeing coming out of PureFlix that we've been writing, I'm most excited about this because it feels real. We haven't seen it yet, but the dailies that we saw, it looked really good. All right, cool. Luke, what else we got coming up real quick?
We have Bel-Air, an update of Fresh Prince on Peacock coming up. I don't know much about that. I'm just reading a list, but
everybody quit saying I'm just reading a list. We're not doing that. You're having a good time.
Thanks, Jim. Live on air.
If anybody wants to say we're doing this, I know we're quickly going through this.
We have the charade is done. Oh, keep going.
I messed up his name last time.
Guillermo del Toro.
Cabinet of Curiosities on Netflix.
It's a horror anthology series, yeah.
Yeah, another anthology. And then Halo is also doing something on Paramount Plus. I don't know if anybody knows what Halo is or plays a game like that. But, you know,
dude,
just kidding.
Dude.
Ben is going to get very upset right now because
to me, Halo is known as a game. Like when I when I graduated high school, I'd sit and watch. I'd try to play with my friends who own the game, and then I'd just be running into a wall the whole time, not knowing which way was up and down, and they'd kill me like over and over again. I'm like, this isn't fun. Can we go get happy hour boneless wings at Applebee's already? That's my memory of Halo.
Wait, yeah, Ben, what's your memory?
My memory? Oh, yes. Man. My game in college was Halo 2. Let me tell you what. Yes. And on a Friday night, I was so cool. I would stay in my dorm room alone, and I would play Halo 2 online. And I would drink a 40 of Colt 45. And every time I died, I'd take a swig. And there's a sweet spot about a third of the way down that 40 that I was unstoppable, man. Halo 2. And I recently saw just a teaser for the Halo TV series. And it looks dope. It really looks dope. So I'm super excited for it. It's live action. You know, you've got the Spartans in there, the Master Chief. I'm excited.
Go ahead.
So instead of playing Edward 40 hands, you were Edward Halo hands.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
But hey, but Ben, correct me if I'm wrong, is this the first live act? They've been trying to get Halo on screen or somewhere for a long time, right?
It's been a long time coming. Yeah, first Peter Jackson was attached. There's a proof of concept film that is floating around online. It's a short film of just battle sequences with the Spartans, which are the guys in the armor and the gold visors, fighting the different alien races. That one's been online for probably close to a decade now. Okay. And it looks amazing, and it was a proof of concept, but that project got scrapped. It's been one of those that got stuck in development hell for years and years, and now finally they're doing the live action show. And it's, of course, it's different than that proof of concept film, but it's still, you know, the same intellectual property. So it's still holding to a certain storyline, but I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be fun.
Well, here's a couple of things I'm looking forward to. First, right off the bat, there's this little show called Game of Thrones. A prequel is coming out on HBO this year, House of Dragons. It's got a little bit of hype around it, so we'll see what happens. There's this other streaming show. So that's going to be HBO Max, or maybe it's just HBO.
It's HBO, yeah.
Just HBO. Hopefully it'll be on HBO Max as well. And the other big streaming giant that's not Netflix, Amazon, they have a show coming out. They're calling it Lord of the Rings, and it's apparently one of the most expensive series ever filmed. Is it the most expensive?
Wow. That's what I read today, that it was the most expensive so far. And it's called Lord of the Rings, I'm guessing, and they also said it's set during the Second Age, it's probably going to be about the rise of Sauron and the fall of Numenor. If you've read any of the Silmarillion or anything, you know what that means. And if not, that's okay.
I mean, who here hasn't read the Silmarillion? I mean, come on, guys.
I know, right. What, next you're going to tell me you haven't read Farmer Giles of Ham? His short? Yeah, okay.
Anyway.
or his translation of Beowulf? What?
It's 1,000 years before the events of the Lord of the Rings were all.
Yeah, thousands. Yeah.
Okay, thousands.
Yeah.
Cool. And crowded in between those two, there's a show coming out in Fox called Crapopolis, with a K, by the way. Crapopolis is from Dan Harmon, the creator of Rick and Morty. The show itself is set in ancient Greece and follows a group of flawed humans, gods, and monsters trying to run one of the world's first cities. Dan Harmon, animation, enough said. Ben, what else do we have coming from Disney Plus this year, my friend?
Ooh, I'm so excited about the worlds of Star Wars and Marvel and all this stuff. First of all, my boy, Boba Fett. If you have not been watching Book of Boba Fett, you are missing out, my friend. I watched this and I'm like, this is like the opening scene when he crawls out of the Sarlacc pit. My gosh, like that's what I've been waiting for since I was 7 years old. It was incredible. So Book of Boba Fett, of course, still streaming on Disney Plus. New episodes every Wednesday. And we're 2 episodes in. You can go watch those right now on Disney Plus. We've got Moon Knight coming out. He is a Marvel superhero. He is a multiple personalityed man who is inhabited by the spirit of an ancient Egyptian god. He's another one of these kind of occult, not quite horror, but like dealing with magic in the spiritual realm of the Marvel universe. An ancient Egyptian god, obviously being part of that. Moon Knight is kind of, a lot of people compare him to like Marvel's answer to Batman, except in a little bit more ethereal and spiritual realm. But that is starring Oscar Isaac, who is, I mean, he's just incredible in everything that he's in. He was awesome in Dune, of course, Star Wars, and all these other things that he's been in. He's amazing. He should be Gomez Adams, but that's a whole other That's a whole other conversation to have. Then we've got Ms. Marvel. Ms. Marvel looks so good. I've just seen like the behind the scenes stuff that they've been doing. They haven't really released an official trailer yet. They did a kind of a little teaser for Disney Plus Day.
Yeah.
But that had a lot of behind the scenes stuff in it too. But I think that's what I'm thinking of. But that is so fun because it is, you know, it's a Middle Eastern American or an Arab American girl who is living in New Jersey. It's a teenage story. It's a coming of age story and a superhero story. It's going to be incredible. I'm so looking forward to it. The character of Ms. Marvel is a lot of fun, and I can't think of her. I can't think of her normal person name in the comics.
It's
Kamala Khan.
Kamala Khan. Yeah.
Kamala Khan. Yeah. So I'm super excited about that. Also, She-Hulk, Tatiana Maslany playing She-Hulk.
Yeah.
Bringing Bruce Banner back into the TV universe for the She-Hulk TV series. So stoked about that. Tatiana is an incredible actress. They are just hitting the ball out of the park with these casting choices for the Marvel TV shows.
And rumor, what if they create multiple Hulks, the Hulkiverse, like they did with Spider-Man?
It's true.
Go about your lives.
They're bringing with, Norton back.
With Eric Bana and Edward Norton. And then, of course, another one that does my heart so much good, Obi-Wan Kenobi, my favorite Star Wars character. Yeah. Literally my favorite. Obi-Wan is my favorite Star Wars character, and that's saying a lot because all of the Star Wars characters are my favorite Star Wars characters, but Obi-Wan's my favorite.
Bring a tissue box.
Hayden, what?
Bring a tissue box.
Hayden Christensen returning to play Darth Vader in some capacity. We don't know how or why, because by this point in the timeline, he's already under the mask. So we'll see what that entails. Very excited for that. Also introducing new characters to the franchise. Very excited. There are little little video things on Disney Plus that you can go watch about behind the scenes stuff for Obi-Wan as well. And then, of course, Willow. Oh, I'm so excited. I love the original movie. Now they're doing a Disney Plus series about later on in the timeline with Willow. Mm-hmm. I don't know if Val Kilmer is coming back or not. Does anybody know? Because I haven't heard anything about Val Kilmer. I don't think
I heard he did a cameo in the Top Gun thing, but I don't know if that's still there. Oh, I watched the Val Kilmer documentary, which was fascinating.
I've heard Val is incredible.
It's really good.
Yeah. And because Derek has so many things that pull him, like children, Derek, why don't you finish your collection of TV shows that you might or might not be excited about, since Katie's going to tell us all the ones she hates.
Okay, well, you know, I have a few I am excited about, and then there's also some you wanted me to talk about, but some that I wanted to talk about first. I know, you know, Kenobi was mentioned. I'm looking forward to that. And man, did we say anything about Mandalorian Season 3 yet? Because
we don't know when it comes out yet.
The Mandalorian is about foster care. I will say it again.
That's true.
And I really want to see like where the character goes and like what happens when Grogu has gone away. Cause as foster parents, we've been through that, you know, the reunification, that is actually what you work toward. But it's, you know, gut wrenching when a child that you take in and love like your own has to go and live with someone else. So I really want to see where Mandalorian Season 3 goes. I'm, you know, there's an emotional tie there. We're getting Stranger Things Season 4, which I believe was slated to be the last season.
I don't think that they confirmed that yet. They originally said that, but it hasn't been confirmed yet.
Right. At one point, that was the route we were expecting, but who knows, because the show is wildly popular. But, of course, we're excited for that one. I'm looking forward to Ted Lasso Season 3, which is probably going to be its final season. At least that's what it was originally said, that it was only going to be a three-season show.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We'll see. It has been. It's also been great. Invincible Season 2 is going to be coming this year. If you haven't watched Invincible, it's a superhero show, and it looks like it's just going to be kind of a goofy comedy at first, and then you're like, oh wait, no, not at all. Like if 5 minutes in, you realize, oh no, actually, this is a very serious. It's animated, but it's pretty serious drama.
Lots of guts and blood.
Yeah. Forgive me if I say something someone else was hoping to talk about, but there are two shows coming to Netflix that are supposed to come out this year that I'm really excited about. The Sandman, based on Neil Gaiman's epic, monumental graphic novel series. And The Last Airbender live action show is supposed to come out in 2022. I don't know if that's been officially announced or if they've just said that that was the plan. Mm-hmm. But they did announce that it officially production has begun on it. And the cast is online and everything. There's a little bit of information out there and it looks amazing. Anyway, there's all that stuff. And also Julian Fellowes, the creator of Downton Abbey, has another show coming out called The Gilded Age, which is kind of like Downton Abbey, but set in America. And, you know, I think Julian Fellowes always amazes.
All right.
And that's all I have to say about that.
Well, I'm good. Katie, I'm making a switch here. And
that's
Katie,
fine. I can say it real quick. I'll just
and Katie is going to finish our television talk. Derek, if you need to go, that's fine. I know you got children calling, but thank you for joining us tonight, my friend.
Thank you.
All right. See you, Derek. All right, Katie, finish up our TV talk.
I'm going to skip the first one from the notes because there was absolutely nothing I could find about it. So I'm just going to not say it. The first thing is Peacemaker is coming out, which everybody knows John Cena's character. It's on HBO. So that already says a lot. I feel like it's going to be a lot more mature than obviously what we're used to with the DC TV shows. And then I have not seen the movie, so I apologize. But yeah, anyway.
Oh, wow. You haven't seen Suicide Squad?
No, I have no desire. Anyway. Maybe
you're just dropping truth bombs tonight.
Not to get confused with the movie that just came out, Resident Evil has its Netflix show coming out in this next year, which obviously if you guys are video gamers, it'll be interesting to see where it goes. I have not played the games yet, but it is a horror game, so it's going to be interesting to see what Netflix's next horror show goes, especially with it being based off of a video game. And then The Boys Season 3, which is what I am really, 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 really excited about because Jensen Ackles comes as Soldier Boy. that is coming out June 3rd. I believe the first three episodes will be up June 3rd, and then it will be a week-to-week thing until the end of the season. Really excited. It's going to get very mature this year, so just if you guys might want to watch it before you let other people watch it and make sure it's okay first because it's going to have a lot of adult content this year. And Marvelous Mrs. Maisel Season 4 is coming out on February 18th on Amazon. I didn't think I was going to like this show, but it's delightful. It's just delightful.
That's the word that describes it, delightful.
And yeah, so that's a fun thing to watch. I don't know for sure if it's the last season. I haven't seen anything about it, but definitely check that out. That'll be on Amazon on February 18th. And really quickly, Grey's Anatomy got renewed for a new season. And they should have ended it last season. So that's my thoughts on that.
They should have ended it 10 years ago.
Yeah, but especially last
19. They're going into 19.
Last season, they had the perfect way to end it and it would have been okay. And then they forced it and I haven't even watched it this season. I don't care anymore. I'm just like, yo, okay, just stop.
It says I'm not watching
it after I played a second character on the same show.
Katie, how could they have ended it? What, did they blow up the hospital again?
No, it's just, I don't even know because I didn't finish watching the season. But basically, Meredith had COVID and they could have, and she had all these flashbacks with characters in her COVID coma. She had
everybody from the
reunions with all these other characters who were on the show. And that's how you end a show. It's not how you keep a show going. It was a little awkward. Anyway.
You're saying they should have killed Meredith, huh? Nice.
I'm just saying it would have been ending that I could have seen.
Did you at least like my episodes, Katie?
Yes, of course. Of course.
Okay.
And then The Witcher Blood Origin Netflix is a Witcher prequel coming out this year as well. Anything Witcher, give me it all. I love it all. I love the games. Anything Witcher related, I'm all for.
Very cool. And Katie, if you don't mind, I'm going to just end this real quick. Nate, by the way, the one that Katie did skip, because there's not a lot, it is Naomi, CW's latest comic superhero. There's not a lot about it. She's an African-American superhero leading a series. So it is kind of, it's good for representation. The CW network looks like it is up for sale. It's going to be sold and we don't know what's going to happen in the years ahead. So they might be rearranging the deck chairs. There you go.
I'll buy it.
There you go. There you go. All right. Real quick. Last 3 minutes. We also are excited that it looks like some events are going to be coming back. We don't know how they're going to be coming back in what form, but April 1 through 3, WonderCon is supposed to happen here in Los Angeles. It depends on Omicron, Ben can fill us in real quick at the end of the show. Depends on where we're at. May 26th through 29th, Star Wars Celebration Anaheim. I think it's this year, right?
Yeah. Supposed to be.
Well, it got postponed. Yeah, it got
bumped from last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then July 21 through 24, San Diego Comic-Con is their first full Comic-Con. I bet you they will still have vaccination requirements and possibly masks, but maybe not masks, but at least vaccination requirements. Same with Dragon Con in Atlanta, September 1 through 5. Rose City Comic Con, September 9 through 11. And if they have it, the September 9 through 11 D23 Expo, which is kicking off the 100-year anniversary of the Disney Studios. Walt Disney Company. I know they really want that to happen. So there's some events coming up. It's very exciting. As we finish, guys, take us out. Katie, tell us where people can find you, watch, and when they can like follow you when you're on Twitch.
Yeah, you can follow me across all social media, including Twitch at KT_Christine. Now that Instagram actually lets you attach links to your Instagram stories without having 10,000 followers, I can actually post those links in my stories, which is great. So you can follow me there. I haven't been too active on Twitch, but I'm trying to get back into it again, streaming The Witcher, streaming Spider-Man, streaming Ghost of Tsushima, and then just talking about how much I don't like MJ as a character when I'm playing Spider-Man. So that's kind of that. And just here at the Con Guy or the Con Girls next week when we do next our Witcher recap. So,
all right. Yeah. And before Luke goes, let's just Cat Bloodgood said that she is stoked for Prime Video's Legend of Vox Machina this month on the 28th. She is a D&D and Critical Role fan. She cannot wait to see it fully animated and a very gorgeous as well as with the animation. All right. We'll be checking that out. Luke, where can people find you?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Cheese on Couch, and also on theconguy.com. And yeah, check out the shows this year. We're going to have a lot of exciting stuff.
Yep. Check out the Con Kids right now. They did a review of Spider-Man, and they also, no, that's us. The Con Guy did a review of Spider-Man. The Con Kids, they did the whole season of Hawkeye. So check them out. You guys, what they did if? A lot of good. What'd you say, Luke?
And What If?
Oh, and What If? Yeah. So those guys have been doing a lot of stuff, and they got a lot coming up. You can find me, James D. Fry, on what's that thing? Instagram. Jim Fry LA on Twitter.
On the
Ben,
computer.
Take us out. Ben, take us out.
Will do. So let me do. I'll say I'm old buddy Ben here at the Con Guy and that hashtag show.com. You can find me on social media, which is pretty much just Twitter and Instagram for me now. I'm on the TikTok, but I don't really, I posted like two videos. They're pretty good. So you should go check it out. Everything can be found under at BenKlieWer or on Instagram. Mostly you can search the hashtag BK421. That's mostly me. Every once in a while, somebody else posts something and I don't know what they're talking about. Real quick PSA at the end here. Many of you know, for those of you who don't, my day job right now is I work for the Los Angeles County Department of Public Health. And I am willing to talk about my job on the air because it's important and I am technically a public servant. So I think it's important for me to talk about this. Now, let me tell you, first of all and foremost, I am not a scientist. I am not a virologist. I am not a one who studies the biology of diseases, nor am I a doctor. However, I work in a department where I have access to a lot of the latest information and am presented with the numbers and that sort of thing. So all I am able to do is really regurgitate what I have been given. I think one of the big things that we're seeing right now is we're seeing the scientific process happen in real time. So if things seem confusing, it's because sometimes they kind of are, because as they're studying the way that these things come out and new variants, they're like, okay, we think it's like this. Nope, we just found something new out. Now it's like this, and now you need to do this instead. That doesn't mean they're lying to you or they don't know what they're talking about. It means they're relaying new knowledge to us as soon as they get it.
That's called science.
It's called science. As it stands, thank you, Jim. Appreciate that. As it stands now, it's looking like the Omicron variant of COVID-19 is... they're saying it's roughly three times as contagious as previous variants. However, the symptoms seem to be far less severe, especially if you have been vaccinated with either the Pfizer or the Moderna and gotten a booster shot. Johnson & Johnson, not as effective as it was at first. However, you can also mix and match and go get a Moderna booster after you've had, or a Pfizer booster after you've had a Johnson & Johnson. It doesn't change your DNA. It doesn't do anything like that. It basically teaches your cells how to fight against the virus if it enters your system. Big thing, a lot of the people, and this is anecdotal for me, a lot of the people that I've been interviewing who have received vaccinations, who've caught COVID-19 have been suffering very, very, very mild symptoms. Most people are like, I thought it was allergies. I thought I had a head cold. Particularly that sounds like what's happening with Omicron. We do still have Delta variant active right now, which is a little bit more severe, especially if you have not been vaccinated, and the vaccines do work very well against the Delta variant. That's what the studies have told us. Not as well against the Omicron, but the Omicron is not as severe. So we are having a lot more people who have been vaccinated catching Omicron, but not having very bad symptoms. Bottom line is to say, when you go out, please be wise. Please continue to wear a mask and a face covering. If you can get your hands on KN95s or any kind of slightly higher quality, still kind of a paper material, but a little bit of a higher quality, you can get a big old package of them off of Amazon, like 100 masks. You can use them more than once. You know, you don't have to just wear it runs and throw it away. But that does help curb the spread, especially with the more contagious variant, because, you know, with people with compromised immune systems, again, it can still be very serious for them. But the good news is, if we are starting to see more contagious but less severe versions of this, it means we could possibly, and this is not a direct, you know, confirmed statement, it's a sign that we could possibly be moving into an endemic, which means we're moving out of the pandemic and onto making, seeing this kind of develop into more of a annual cold, as opposed to something that's going to kill 800,000 Americans over the course of 2 years, which the previous versions have. And that's what happens with a lot of these things. The four different viruses that cause what we call the common cold are all coronaviruses. They're saying this one could turn into the fifth version of the common
cold. So we're never going to kick the cold, for crying out loud.
Chicken soup, Jim, chicken soup. Okay. But continue to be wise. I feel like it looks like, and please continue to listen to healthcare professionals.
Yeah.
You know, Fauci's a guy who's just trying to do his job and keep us safe. Like, he's not trying to like screw anybody over. I honestly think he's trying to do the best that he can with what he's got. And so if he and the CDC come out with stuff and your local health departments put out regulations, just try to follow them as best you can. Be safe, be respectful of other people and those around you, and just love each other. Care about each other. We'll all get through this. Again, we're all in this together. Rich, poor, whatever you are, you know, we're all in the same boat here, technically. So, just be kind to each other, be respectful of each other, and we will get through this eventually. And I'm dying to see you all at WonderCon, or at San Diego Comic-Con or Star Wars Celebration this year. So let's do everything that we can individually and as groups and families and groups of friends, follow the guidelines as best we can so that we can get on the other side of this thing. There's my soapbox.
Thank Good you. Night, everybody. We'll see you guys next time. Bye-bye. Bye. Thanks, Ben.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to The Con Guy Show, the official program of theconguy.com. Find us on the WeeV Geeks Collective or anywhere you listen to podcasts. And now on sci-fi.radio, Saturdays at 4 o'clock Eastern, 1 o'clock Pacific, both AM and PM. That's 9 o'clock Greenwich. It's sci-fi for your Wi-Fi.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.